Borgie Holm is a third-generation Alaskan fisherman's daughter. She was born in Kodiak and works at the Kodiak Assembly of God and Kodiak Crisis Pregnancy Center. For fun, she likes looking at wild plants, fishing, and writing, and sometimes she is a missionary globetrotter.
Peace is tenuous. Travel to the Democratic Republic of Congo is strongly discouraged by the United States State Department. These were the words that greeted me as I began researching an upcoming journalism trip to the DRC. My friend, who is a much more experienced journalist, told me, if a country in Africa calls itself democratic, you can bet it really isn't. And in fact, DRC is a dictatorship, one of the most corrupt countries in the world. Also, at that time, it was rated as one of the most dangerous countries in the world for women in particular, and I was to be the only woman on a team of four. Upon entry into the DRC, in an 8x8-foot room, suddenly my passport mysteriously disappeared. It had been there just seconds ago. I had no idea what was happening. I couldn't understand the customs official, but he was becoming angrier and angrier. We searched frantically through the room trying to find the passport. I began to feel terror like I've never felt before welling up inside of me. Why was my passport gone, the only woman in the group? Was I ever going to go home again? Was I going to go to one of those prison camps I had read about? Was I going to see my mom? I forced myself not to cry because they would see my weakness if they were trying to play some kind of a trick on us. But then as quickly as it had disappeared, the passport resurfaced inside of a book on the official's desk. We left as if nothing had happened and it was all fine. As we entered the city, we learned what peace is tenuous means. It means that tanks patrol the streets. It means that UN peacekeepers man gun turrets with rifles aimed at the street if anything gets out of hand. It means that compounds are guarded by razor wire and that as white people we can't go anywhere without being robbed or possibly killed without our local escorts. Further into the time we began our interviews in the city, the people told us things that we had no boxes in our minds to contain. We felt like we couldn't understand them, even though we heard the words from them, because we had never experienced war. They told us things like massacre, slaughter, systematic rape. Even children were not exempt from the bloodshed, and the world was silent. The world didn't care, even though it was hundreds of thousands of people. I couldn't understand how these people were even still standing. I didn't know how to help them. I wanted to hold their hands and feel their pain, but I was thankful that I couldn't. I thought about the word conflict that I heard all the time. The word conflict sounded like somebody fighting over who had to do the dishes that night. It didn't sound like what these people were describing to me. But there was another side to the story. We met church members who had hidden opposing tribe members in order to save their lives during the warfare. The people were risking their own lives to save their brothers, and it would be their own tribes that would kill them for protecting the enemy if they were found out. And then we met a Bible translator whose story was the most powerful of all. He talked about when the soldiers came and ransacked his village, and he was separated from his wife and his daughter as they fled into the jungle. It was many days before he found them again, and when he did, they were just weeping. They clung to him. They wouldn't say a word. They would do nothing but cry. Finally, he got them to tell him what had happened, and the soldiers had raped his wife and his daughter. But that day, as he spoke to us, he said with a voice as calm and clear as a cool well, "I have forgiven those soldiers, and I pray for them." My team could not understand. We were astonished. I puzzled in my mind how a person could possibly forgive these things. What could be worse for a husband and a father than to forgive that? After a while, I realized that it was simply a miracle, and it was not something that could be explained or understood. It was something that was simply granted. Soon afterwards, we went to the village of Bogoro. This was the site of a massacre. The people responsible for it were on trial at the International Criminal Court at The Hague, standing trial for their epic crimes against humanity. In one day, they had killed 60% of the people of this village. But it was a peaceful and beautiful setting that greeted us when we came. The women were digging in the garden, replanting. There were beautiful green shoots growing from the ground, like signs of hope. They were starting over again. Against all odds, this village was going to survive. The women's beautiful, colorful dresses blew in the breeze, and I squatted in the soil next to them, and through smiles and gestures, I learned how to help them weed. It was all I could do to try to help after what they had gone through. Soon afterward, I stood in a schoolhouse that had been bombed. Brick rubble was now being overtaken by foliage, and the sun was shining in. It was actually peaceful and beautiful. And not long afterwards, our last stop in the village, we met with the village elders. They told us how they were rebuilding the village with people of every tribe so that no one could cause division ever again. It would be everyone's village, and they would squelch any troublemakers that caused division. Before we left, these people from once warring tribes sat together in peace and sang a hymn. Back at my host's home, his two young children spotted my little brown birthmark poking out from under my dress on my shin. They asked me what it was. And I said, well, when God was making me, he was also painting a Congolese person next to me. And that is where he splashed me with your paint. Without missing a beat, they held out their fingertips to me and said, Auntie Borgie, this is where he dipped us in your paint, showing their glowing white nail beds. I thought to myself, how if more people in the world could celebrate our differences like me and Amoti and Akiki, rather than despising them, perhaps it would hasten the day when the promise from Scripture would be fulfilled, the promise from the prophet Micah that says, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They will not learn or practice war anymore.